Here at Cardinal News, we believe facts matter, and so does your support. As an independent nonprofit newsroom, we're committed to bringing you in-depth, fact-based reporting about Southwest and Southside Virginia, the kind you won't find anywhere else. If our stories have informed, inspired, or even surprised you this year, consider supporting our work. Every contribution helps keep this kind of local news strong. You can give today at cardinalnews.org/membership. Hello and welcome to the Cardinal News of Virginia, a podcast from Cardinal News. We're a nonprofit independent newsroom serving Southwest and Southside Virginia at cardinalnews.org. I'm Lisa Rowan, filling in for Dutchie Jesse. The Cardinal podcast is sponsored by Muneris, serving communities with expert group benefits and Medicare solutions. Today, we are joined by Grace Mammon, who covers Danville and the surrounding area. Grace, it's great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Grace has written an article about a proposed recovery campus in Halifax County that would bring housing, transportation, and other services to people in recovery from substance use disorder. Grace, let's start by telling me about Joel Cunningham, a judge in Halifax County, and the need that he saw in his community for this kind of resource.
Yeah, so I met Judge Cunningham working on this story. He's a retired judge in Halifax County. He's been retired since 2016, and he had been a judge for 20 years before that in the area. He's not really retired. He's been running the Recovery Court program in Halifax since his retirement. Recovery Court, or Drug Court, as it's sometimes called, is a specialized program for nonviolent criminal offenders who also have substance use disorder. And usually their crime or their offense is connected to the substance use disorder in some way, and they can participate in the Recovery Court program instead of serving jail time. So it focuses on rehabilitation and getting participants into active recovery rather than like punitive measures that are more common in the traditional criminal justice system. So Judge Cunningham developed this program the same year he retired in 2016 after decades of working as a judge and seeing the effect that substance use disorder had on the community and on individuals in the criminal justice system. And so now that he's been running that program for about a decade, he's seen the success it's had, and he wants to take things a step further and build a full-scale recovery campus with housing, transportation, other resources.
So we've hinted a little bit at what the recovery campus would provide to the people who would be living there. Tell us in a bit more detail about, you know, what it would look like and what it would provide.
Yeah, so the services offered there would pretty much run the gamut of resources needed for folks to maintain their recovery. It would offer housing. And one of the things that he emphasized to me was how crucial stable and sober housing is in maintaining someone's active recovery. If a person is homeless, or if they live in an environment where there's active drug use around them, you say they live with a partner or with a family member that's using drugs, it's much, much harder for them to maintain their recovery. So providing housing would address that need, and having this all on a centralized campus with transportation would eliminate another barrier to recovery, which is lack of reliable transportation. So if folks in recovery don't have a way, you know, say they get and they keep a job, they don't have a way to get there and back every day, it's harder for them to keep that job, maintain their recovery, and then also participate in the Recovery Court program itself, which requires weekly check-ins at the courthouse. It requires in-person group counseling sessions, things like that. So I sat in on a Recovery Court session in October, and one of the participants there relied on his boss to take him to and from the court meetings every week. And if the meeting or counseling session or whatever it may be is like right across from where you live on the same campus, then it's much easier to get there. And so Judge Cunningham also envisions behavioral medical treatment on the campus, workforce training programs, family reconciliation services, life skills programming, maybe even childcare in the future. So basically all the things that someone would need to most successfully and most effectively stay in recovery.
When I think about Halifax County, I think of a large geographic area that's primarily rural, right? And so when we're thinking about the need for this in Halifax County, are there similar options available in the area? Are people traveling for, you know, resources that are like this in other parts of the state?
Yeah, so it was so shocking to me. Something I learned while reporting this story is that these resources are pretty far and few between, even though they are so critical to people with substance use disorder. So a campus of this size doesn't exist, you know, not only in Halifax, but there's nothing like this in all of Southside Virginia. you know, we're talking about a lot of robust resources here, but even just housing alone, just residential projects for people in recovery don't really exist that frequently in Southside. So Judge Cunningham told me that many people in the region will travel to Richmond for recovery housing because it just doesn't exist in Southside, Virginia. And that was surprising to me after learning about how much of a difference housing makes. So it seems like, you know, common sense to create these developments, but they are a big lift and they take a lot of resources and time. So they're just not as common as they maybe should be.
When we think about like the potential benefits of a campus like this, the individual part is sort of obvious, right? You get all of this care and support in one location, but what about the benefit to the community? I'm thinking about that person from recovery court that you mentioned whose boss would like do this amazing thing and drive them to their recovery court appointments each week. Like, is there a benefit to employers? Is there a benefit to just, you know, having this resource in the community? What are sort of the ripple effects that might come into play here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you immediately think of the impact that this would make on a single person's life, you know, to better their life and make a positive impact. But there are so many other benefits that spread out to the entire community that I learned from talking to the sources in this story. So, you know, when more people stay in recovery, overdose deaths in a community go down, criminal justice costs in a community go down, healthcare costs go down, things that taxpayers contribute to, right? And if people in recovery get and maintain jobs, that contributes to the labor force in an area, it contributes to the amount of people paying taxes. I spoke with the Commonwealth's attorney in Halifax, and she put it to me this way, you know, if even one person in Halifax, even if one less person in Halifax had their house or their car broken into, for example, by someone who was trying to sustain their addiction, this program would be worth it. So, you know, there's that aspect. And then there's other things that you wouldn't automatically think of, like family reconciliation services. If someone gets custody of their kids again because they're in active recovery, that's less of a strain on foster care in an area. So there's all these different ripple effects throughout the community in both economic and quality of life ways. I talked to someone who provided some numbers about, you know, lowered crime rates because there's less recidivism in folks who can participate and complete the recovery court program. There's, you know, economic growth due to more people working. So just tons of things that I didn't automatically think of.
You mentioned the sort of the benefit to taxpayers in having some of these costs in the community lowered by having a resource like this. But there's also the cost, like upfront, to build something like this. I know in your story, it mentioned that this kind of campus could cost about $30 million. So tell me about who's going to pay for it, what the timeline is. I know we're in early stages now, but what do we have sort of ahead for this idea?
Yeah, you're right. It is still early stages. Although this conversation for this particular project did start about 3 years ago. So the idea has been around for a while. It's just taken a little bit to kind of get up and running. But at this point, a concept plan is complete. A property has been identified. There's a purchase agreement going on for that property and fundraising has begun. But like you said, the total cost is around $30 million and construction likely wouldn't start till 2027. So even at that point, there'll be two construction phases. So we're looking at several years before this thing is fully up and running. And right now they're just focused on fundraising, applying for grants, government funding, asking for support from philanthropic organizations, et cetera. So it's just a kind of a prolonged, sustained effort. And that's perhaps one of the reasons why there aren't as many of these resources as you'd think, is just because there is such an upfront cost and such a sustained effort that's needed.
And have they identified who would run the operations of this once it's up and running?
Yeah, partially. So an organization called Southside Behavioral Health in South Boston has agreed to serve as the operator for the residential and behavioral facilities. I know they're still working on, you know, talking to employers in the area about workforce development programming on the campus. That would be the second phase of the project, and still kind of figuring out, you know, if hiring any other staff that might be needed. But as far as operating the residential behavioral facilities, they have an operator for that.
From the way you've been talking about this project and from what you've written in your article, it sounds like there's not a lot of opposition to this. There's not a lot of like NIMBYism, not in my backyard feelings about this. And you know, am I wrong? Is there opposition to this and people are speaking out about it? Or is this something that is sort of universally welcomed at this point?
No, you're right. There's not really any formal opposition. Judge Cunningham told me that everybody he talks to tells him it's a good idea. So people can see the need that exists and are supportive of the project for that reason. The biggest barrier at this point has been getting that funding and getting, I think it just takes a person who will champion a project, who will be willing to see it through. So Judge Cunningham has been that person for this project, and the rest of it is just kind of logistical funding things. But as far as community support and support from the state, they have seen a considerable amount of that, which is encouraging since there are so many community benefits. You know, the community stands to gain something from this.
Yeah. My last question about this is how you uncovered the idea. It sounds like Judge Cunningham was like a good talker, as we say when we're doing interviews, someone who will share a lot of information with you and will be really candid with a reporter. But I'm wondering how you sort of uncovered this in the first place to be able to pursue it.
Yeah, so this was one of those really rewarding times when a reader reached out to me with a story idea. So it was an employee of the court system in Halifax who works with Judge Cunningham. She had seen my reporting on Danville in Pennsylvania and asked if I had any interest covering this project in Halifax, even though, you know, it's slightly outside of my coverage area. I don't super often do stories about Halifax. So she pitched the story to me, basically, and offered to introduce me to Judge Cunningham so he could tell me more. And that's always rewarding when a reader thinks of Cardinal when they have an idea about what needs to be covered. And I love hearing from readers and Southside residents about what they think should get coverage that hasn't yet.
Well, seamless segue. If any other readers want to get in touch with you and give you ideas or tell you what's happening in their community, how should they reach out to you?
My email is the best way to get in touch with me. It's grace@cardinalnews.org.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, Grace.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to the Cardinal News of Virginia. Thanks to our sponsor, Muneris, to Sean Eddy of Eddy Alexander for production support, and to Cardinal News' own Zach Shelton. Read all of our paywall-free local news coverage at cardinalnews.org. I'm Lisa Rowan. Take care now.